You're listening to Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid, and I'm part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. We're back after taking an extra week off, and I'm joined this week by Carlo Valladares. We're going to talk about Atletico's defenders and goalkeepers, how they got on this season. We'll also be discussing the Euro Under-21s, where Saúl Ñíguez has starred and carried Spain into the final against Germany. That is on Friday. As a reminder, before we get started, you can follow Into the Calderon on Twitter at Into the Calderon, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. And you can also subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. We will be right back after this.
Stuff and thinking about Mexico's defeat today at the hands of Germany.
Yeah, I wasn't able to catch that game. I read a little bit about it, though.
Yeah, it was a good game. The final score does not tell the full story, but Germany definitely the deserved winners.
Yeah, I'll have to catch some of the highlights of that. So, what else have you been working on lately? I obviously you do a lot of stuff, a lot of non-Atletico stuff. What kind of things you've been working on?
Lately, I've been focusing on this new tactical media brand, Eat, Sleep, Drink Football Analysis. So, I've been doing a lot of match reports, a lot of tactical previews, tactical reports. I'm working on a new feature for These 40 Times. That's going to be a surprise, though. I'm getting quotes for that.
Nice.
And as soon as August hits, I'm going to be revamping my whole Atletico Madrid content. So you'll be seeing a lot of stuff about Atletico in the coming weeks.
Sweet. Yeah, I read some of your stuff at Eat, Sleep, Drink Football. It's really good stuff, man.
Thank you.
I want to encourage everyone listening to head on over there and check out Carlo's stuff. It's really good. Yeah, we're rolling right now, so let us talk about Atletico for a little bit here.
Let's do it.
We're going to talk about the goalkeepers and defenders today, and overall it was a good season for the spine of Diego Simeone's team. It didn't really start that way, especially early in the season when Atletico were getting hit for 2 and 3 goals regularly. Toward the end of the season, though, the defense got really, really good again, Carlo.
Yeah, the 16-17 season can be described as one of transition, and where Atletico were trying to play differently, and oftentimes it was at the risk of conceding a lot of goals. But we regrouped, like you said, beginning of the season. We did not start like the way we wanted to, nor did it start how we expected it to. Griezmann had some shady comments, and there was a lot of negativity surrounding Atletico with their start. But it finished very strong.
Yeah, again, no trophies this season. It's the third year in a row without a major trophy, but just the ability to not really an ability, but keep on keeping on. Another third-place finish, another season where you have the best defense in the league, just continuing to further the project and continuing to progress. And this is, I tweeted about this a few weeks ago, this is why Simeone and those around the club continue to describe this as a project, right? It's because, so this doesn't flame out when Simeone leaves. The goal is to keep this thing going for many, many years and building a legitimate operation here, a productive, profitable sporting operation. And this is one of those seasons where even though Atletico didn't win a trophy, they didn't fall off the face of the earth either. And that is important.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Simeone opting to stay one more year, hopefully, or even longer, at the, he wants to start and he wants to christen the Wanda Metropolitano. And he feels, like he said, in the return leg in the UCL semifinal, unfortunately, we lost, but he said he believes that this club has a future. So that just goes to show that his heart is still with Atletico Madrid, and he knows that this club has punched above their weight for the past couple of seasons. And I truly believe he thinks that this club is not finished at all, and they're going to keep trying to improve and keep trying to fill these gaps with the top clubs, with the Real Madrids, the Barcelonas, because we are very close.
And it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen over a year, even 5 years. It happens over a longer period of time if you want to get something truly sustainable. And that's what we have to remember. Even in seasons like this happen, and it's important to look at the good and the bad. And there was a lot of good in this season, despite it being kind of disappointing in a way, with no real push for the title and another Champions League elimination at the hands of Real Madrid. And the important thing with Simeone staying is that some of the best players in the team are also going to stay. Case in point is Jan Oblak. And Oblak missed a couple months this season with the shoulder problem, but when he was healthy, when he was fit, continuing to show he is one of the best goalkeepers in Europe.
Yeah, he's officially on everybody's radar. He's getting the respect he deserves. That performance against Bayer Leverkusen, where you had those three consecutive saves.
Triple save. Man, I still can't believe you pulled that off.
Yeah, when you watch those highlights, you really realize that Oblak is undoubtedly, to me, the best shot stopper in Europe. Obviously, there's some better sweeper keepers. You know, Neuer maybe better on the ball, but you're looking for a pure shot stopper with a great success. It's Jan Oblak.
He's the Oblaktopus. He's so athletic, and he gets to where he needs to be to stop the ball so quickly. There isn't really anyone I'd rather have in goal than him. Although when he was out, Miguel Angel Moya came in and did a job. He's not someone. He does inspire a certain level. He does inspire a certain level of confidence, because he's just a very steady backup guy. I don't want him starting the whole season. The 2 months where he did have to play, by the end of that time, I was like, okay, let's go. Let's bring Oblak back from his injury. But yeah, overall, Moya's a very steady pair of hands and a good guy to have around.
Yeah, I like Moya. I thought he's a keeper that he gets the job done. Obviously, he doesn't offer the type of heroics that Oblak does, but you know, fortunately, we have a good defensive structure, and a lot of keepers don't need to be at their very best when they have Atletico Madrid playing in front of them. But Moya, he had a good season.
Moving on to the defenders, let's start with Stefan Savic, who, difficult season for him. Heading into November, he was playing some of the best football he's played. He shut down Robert Lewandowski again when Bayern Munich came to the Calderon in September, and he was doing really well. Atletico were unbeaten to the end of October before that loss at Sevilla. But then on November 1st, Savic got sent off in that win against Malaga, the kind of crazy 4-2 win at the Calderon. And ever since then, he couldn't find form. He doesn't have a lot of pace, but that's not really a problem. The problem is he doesn't really hold his position. And I think it's interesting. He blocked more shots than anyone else in La Liga this season, which is interesting to me for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a good stat, but number two, it also kind of shows me how little he actually held his position by blocking so many shots, and how ineffective he was at times defensively.
Yeah, look, Stefan Savic can have some poor games, but ultimately, to me, he's more consistent than Jose Jimenez.
So you'd start him, you'd consider starting him next to Godin from the start of next season?
I would, yes, based off the fact that I think Diego Simeone, to put it bluntly, knows his players better than I do.
Right, yeah.
And I think Savic starting over Jose Jimenez is really down to the fact that Savic has more experience and Savic is flat out more consistent. But yeah, there's times where, yes, he's not good and his lack of pace doesn't help him, but I'm comfortable with Savic there. I think when it comes to the defenders, it was a tricky season because Atletico Madrid were faced with defending in transition more so than past seasons, given the fact that they like to put more bodies up more than ever before. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a learning curve for all defenders. And from the research that I've done and what I've analyzed is that when you have to defend in transition, obviously you have to set yourself up to stop the counter way before it even happens. But if you get caught out, pace really is the last thing that's going to save you. And Godin and Savic, they don't have a lot of pace. So right. When they are caught out, they're pretty much just like dead in the water.
Yeah, and we didn't see that as much with Godin, who we'll talk about, of course. But with Savic, it was just, it was rough to watch him at times this season. And he never really, he would have a couple games where he looked really good again, and then he'd have another stinker. And
Yeah, to me, I think Simeone should be looking to start maybe Lucas next to Godin next season. I think Savage is going to have to earn his place, honestly, because he just wasn't good enough. Lucas has a bit more pace. Lucas needs to play more anyway. And it's going to be a very interesting competition to see who pairs, who partners with Godin from the start of next season. But you think it's Savage, which is interesting to me, because not a lot of people I've talked to say that Savage is definitely going to be the guy. That's interesting to me.
Well, I agree with you in the fact that I think Lucas needs to get more minutes. However, as good as he has been, and he has surprised me immensely with his maturity and how he's come into games against Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Real Madrid, and he's held his own, and he's risen. You know, he rises to those occasions in the big games, and I like that. But Savage is not a world class defender by any means, but I do prefer him over Jose Jimenez. So we'll see if Lucas Hernandez can come in and hopefully take that partnership, take that spot next to Godin.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well talk about Lucas right now. He only played 22 times this season, which surprised me because that's only about 40% of the games Atletico played during the 16-17 season. And that's, frankly, unacceptable for someone who is as talented and as gifted and mature as he is, at least on the pitch. Off the pitch is another story with the restraining order against his girlfriend and all that. You saw this, right? Apparently,
yeah,
he and his girlfriend got married in the Bahamas, then they came back and they're both arrested for violating the restraining order. That was interesting.
You know, both Hernandez brothers are in the tabloids and headlines for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, you don't necessarily want to see that. But Lucas on the pitch is great. The man does not make mistakes. He plays a very, it's not a conservative or cautious game. He just knows how to play the game. He's so smart. He's so mature. And I really do think he should start next to Godin. He's going to play more regardless, though, because Atletico do not have a backup for Felipe Luis. And it's going to be a competition to see who partners Godin. Lucas is great, though. He's my choice.
Yeah, no, he's great, and I really do believe next season is the time where he steps up and Simeone, you know, takes him off the leash and unleashes him into La Liga with first team quality minutes, starting 11 minutes.
Yeah, definitely. You also mentioned Josema, and this was supposed to be kind of the breakout season for him, but just couldn't stay fit. He'd come back for a couple weeks and be out a couple more weeks. And when he got hurt at the end of April, it was the game at Las Palmas where he had to go off after the hour. And he ended up missing the first leg against Real Madrid. I think, at least I underestimated how devastating that was going to be, because Lucas just got run by Marcelo and Cristiano in that game. But Josema, we know how talented he is. We know how athletic, how fast, how quick, how strong he is, but
yeah, he has all the tools.
He does
to be to be one of the best defenders in the world, I think.
Do you think he's better served in midfield though? Because when Cholo put him there, starting, it was in December against in the Copa del Rey, yep, Cholo started playing him in midfield a little bit more, and that kind of gave him enough space to kind of roam around and do his thing and not worry too much about screwing up in front of Oblak.
Yeah, that's one of the benefits of playing a defensive midfield role. A potential mistake that comes your way, the consequences aren't as bad. So I don't think it's the last time we'll see Jose Jimenez in that type of role. I think Simeone might experiment more with that, and we might actually maybe see that kind of 4-2-3-1 thing that they experimented with for like two games around like January.
Yeah.
And I think Jose Jimenez is still a piece to the puzzle. Unfortunately, you know, we have the transfer ban, and I think Atletico would have changed their playing style drastically had we, you know, pursued Lacazette and Diego Costa. I think different formation, and Jose Jimenez in that defensive midfield role with those players up top that I just mentioned could have definitely been a possibility.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, my hope with Josema is that he just stays healthy and we can see his full potential. Not necessarily the devastating errors that lead to goals or lead to Oblak making ridiculous saves, but hopefully we see him in a light that, you know, he's got to stay healthy first, and I think everything kind of flows out from there. Next guy I want to talk about is Juan Fran, and the decline has started, unfortunately, for Juan Fran, who has always been one of my favorites. Just the years of playing in this system without really any rest, any respite, it caught up to him. He missed half of Atletico's Champions League games. He missed 2 months with two separate injuries late in the season. His final game of the season was actually the second leg against Leicester, when he had to come off before the hour with the quadriceps problem. We talked about this back in the winter when he was playing a bit as a winger in December and January, but that didn't last as Atletico. He was kind of used as a stopgap for Simeone. I think we can agree Versalco has clearly overtaken him as first choice, and his contract is up next summer, so Atletico may just be moving on from him entirely.
Yeah, I think Versalco is the first choice. Prior to his injury, I thought he was a better complete fullback, which, you know, in the modern game, the best fullbacks really need to be complete players and consistent in every aspect of play. And Juan Fran really wasn't offering much going forward as times passed. And I think we've seen a player that for so many seasons gave 110%. And now he's slowing down. You can see it. He's slowing down. And I'm very happy we have an excellent right back that will improve, because I think he's a tremendous talent in Versalico.
Do you think Juan Fran has ever gotten the appreciation that he deserves? Because I certainly don't. Juan Fran should go down as one of the finest fullbacks of this generation based on the last 4 or 5 years of production, not even including this season. Do you think Juan Fran gets enough respect?
Yeah, I mean, forget this season. I mean, what he's done, the level of consistency he's played for the past five, six years has been outstanding. You're talking about a guy that is heralded amongst scouts and coaches as having tremendous endurance. You know that these players like Vidal, Juan Fran, these guys that are bursts of energy from the first minute to the last minute. He's technically sound. He can possess the ball. He can pass, and he can downright defend. I mean, we can't forget about the 15-16 UCL tie against Barcelona, where he had Neymar in his pocket.
Yep,
he played a physical game. He played sometimes a downright dirty game against Neymar, but
he did.
Yeah, Juan Fran is definitely underrated, but I find peace of mind knowing that the technicians and the people around the Spanish Primera know that Juan Fran is one of the best right backs of his generation.
He's never been the fastest player. He's never been the biggest player, but he's a smart player. He, as you said, he can pick out a pass. He's a great defensive fullback, at least was in his prime. And his role in the 17-18 season, it's going to be interesting to see how much Simeone relies on him. I have full confidence in Versalco, who we'll talk about in just a sec here, but it'll be interesting because I don't think Atletico are going to renew Juan Fran's contract. I think that they're probably going to let him go next summer, which will be unfortunate and kind of an unfortunate end to his time at Atleti, but there have been no talks about a renewal. So,
do you think he gets a official sending off?
Like the one Thiago got?
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, he's meant so much to the club, and he's...
To me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Juan Fran, to me, definitely gets that sending off.
I think he should. Simeone will push for it, and that'll be...
Because he's a fan favorite.
Yep. And we love him, even the penalty miss in the final last year. That didn't even...
Yeah, I know.
His reaction, some of the best players
misses penalties.
Exactly, and his reaction after that, with how tearful he was, and the letter he wrote the day after, just cements our love for Juan Fran and why we love him. Shime Versalco, I think almost certainly the signing of the season. He became Simeone's first choice right back in about 3 months. That's all it took, He played half a dozen games, and it was clear that he should be first choice. And the team was not the same after he tore his ACL on March 19 against Sevilla. Good news is he's going to be fit next season, and he should be fine.
Yeah, Versalico is a player that I believe he offers more going forward. I believe his crosses are more accurate
now. His crossing is tremendous. His crossing is just so great.
Yes, it has a whip and a bend on it that makes it hard for defenders to position themselves to clear it. You know, he's a real talent, and I believe we're going to see a player that is going to fill Juan Fran's boots. He's going to offer more, and obviously the expectation is going to increase, and I hope he can continue to develop.
Yeah, he's only, what is he, 25, 26?
Yeah, he's like 26.
He's going to get even better, and very excited to have him there. It makes Juan Fran's decline a bit more palatable, I suppose, because you have Versalco in here. Yeah, he's only 25. He's going to be 26 in January. So you have a guy here who could be the right back for the next 5, 6, 7 years. So
yeah,
that's nice to see. Only a couple guys left, Carlo. Diego Godin. Not his best season, but not entirely his fault because of Savage's inconsistency, Jimenez and his inconsistency and his lack of form, Lucas not getting enough playing time. Still, though, Godin had a really good season. He was named in La Liga's Team of the Year. 31 years old now, not showing really any signs of decline. He's an outstanding leader. He scored 3 goals this season. He's kind of another voice for Cholo on the pitch. Yeah.
No, Godin had a good season. Like I said, you know, Atletico Madrid did play a slightly different style, and as a defender, you kind of got to hold the line. And when your team is, and when you change your strategy, sometimes players they're gonna look off. Even though Godin undoubtedly was our best center back of the season, our most consistent, he had some big moments, he had some big tackles, and he had some great reads. But no, yeah, it wasn't his best season, but like I said, that's down to tactical transitions. But no, he's still going to be our number one guy. I believe that center backs they often play their best, you know, when they become 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. It's just a position where you have to analyze so many things, and I still think Godin is in top form.
Oh yeah, he's got at least a couple more years at this level or around this level, and I have very few concerns about Godin kind of losing something. I mean, he's never been a player with pace, so losing pace, he doesn't have much pace to lose. But he's such his knowledge of the game and his positional knowledge is so deep, and his connection with Simeone is so deep. That, you know, I think Godin he's a player I'm really not worried about. And Atletico do have some older players, like you talk about Gabby, you talk about, you know, Juan Fran, obviously, this season, Felipe Luis, Godin, all in there, you know, all 31 or older, but Godin's not a guy I'm worried about.
Yeah, Godin, he's still good. Him and Felipe Luis are still in top form.
Yeah, Felipe, I think, last guy we got to talk about, Felipe Luis, I think the most consistent, most dangerous presence at the back by far for anyone on Atletico this season, showed no signs of slowing down. He also scored 3 goals this season. That's a career best, provided 7 assists in all competitions. He's really the complete fullback. Great crosser, great dribbler, has a lot of pace, really good defender. I quite possibly the world's best left back. And it's concerning that Atleti are not going to be able to bring in backup for him this window because of the stupid transfer ban. But even if you were to bring in a deputy, you can't expect to displace Felipe immediately because he's so good.
Yeah, no, Felipe Luis is one of the best left backs in the world. He's right up there with David Alaba, Alexandro, and Marcelo. To me, he's top 5 left back in the world. He's between him and Carrasco, he's undoubtedly the most skillful dribbler. You know, those two guys, I believe, are the most effective 1v1. He offers a lot of good link-up play, a lot of good 1-2s, and he can. We've all seen the highlights. He can make a lot with little room. Yeah. He may not be as decisive as Marcelo, but Felipe Luis is right up there, and him and Oblak were the best players this season, I think.
Yeah, our readers at Into the Calderon also agreed with 60% of the vote. They said Felipe Luis was Atletico's best defensive player this season. Oblak with 23% of the vote. Godín and Versalco with 13% and 4% respectively. So you are right in line with what our readers said there, Carlo.
Yeah, and you know, the fans, the readers, they know who really put the work in this past season. Obviously, we went trophy-less, but Felipe Luis and Oblak were head and shoulders focused every game.
Yep, definitely. Let's talk a little bit about the Euro under-21s before we head out of here. We got to talk about Saúl, all right, and what he's been doing. And leading Spain to the final against Germany. That is going to take place tomorrow, Friday. We're recording this on Thursday. Saúl is... he's on his way to superstardom. I wrote a column on Into the Calderon yesterday. Saúl Ñíguez, more than Better Call Saúl. Go read it if you haven't yet. And in which I basically make the argument that he's been on this path for a while. His hat trick against Italy pretty much solidified that this guy is on his way to becoming one of the best midfielders in the world.
Yeah. First off, I just want to tell the listeners, definitely read that column. It's very good. And read all of Jeremy's columns, because he's churning out way more analytical content than I am at the moment. And the stuff that I do churn out, Jeremy's putting out better content than I am.
Thanks, brother.
So definitely read it. But yeah, Saúl, he scores these big goals, and then the world football community on social media and the like, they take notice. If you pay attention to La Liga, then you know that Saúl is one of the hottest prospects in La Liga and is touted as undoubtedly one of the most versatile midfielders in the league, if not the most versatile midfielder in the league. He's a player that he scored that hat trick, and you know, his name is being flown around, spoken of everywhere. Brantix now has him as the most valuable prospect in the under-21 tournament, and rightfully so.
Yep.
I know Marco Asensio is a player at a similar stature in his career, and he plays for our rivals, and he's a great player too, but I know for a fact that Saúl Ñíguez can offer a coach way more options than Marco Asensio, and Saúl Ñíguez is definitely going to be a focal point and a superstar for our team.
Before we came on today, we were talking about Saúl and Atletico's 4-3-3. He's thrived in this 4-3-3 for the U21 team. Does this make you more optimistic about Simeone continuing the 4-3-3 kind of hybrid at Atletico and Saúl flourishing in it?
Yeah, I believe the 4-3-3 obviously is not a finished product. Our possession play, Simeone is not comfortable with our possession play enough with it. But I do believe if we get some more players, that the change will happen. I believe undoubtedly, regardless if Simeone stays or not, I believe with the players Atletico has and with the potential that some of these players have, that the 4-3-3 and the more expansive style of play is going to come undoubtedly. The thing with the Spanish national team, if you want to compare Atletico Madrid, obviously our team is better than the Spanish under-21, but the Spanish under-21s, they are a bunch of Spaniards that play in a national side that they only play one philosophy since they're very little, and you're dealing with a side that is cohesive in the understandings of possession-based football, and that's why Saúl is able to maybe perhaps look better, because he's playing with players that all they know is possession football. So he has a different role with Atletico Madrid, but I want the listeners to know that you will see Saúl get more involved with the attacking side of the game at Atletico Madrid in the future.
Yeah, and this is what makes Sewell so good to me, is just how versatile he is. He's in this Spain team, he's showing what he can do when pushed forward into attack with his left foot. And you're seeing when he plays at Atletico, you see how good he is defensively. And it's up to Simeone to kind of meld those two together. And it's going to happen. Sewell is still so young. He's just 22 years old. It's going to happen. And this tournament has very much excited me. And even since the end of the season, when Sewell really got going in February and March and April, I've been very excited about his progress. And he is, I've said this before on the podcast, he is the guy you build this midfield around for the future. He is it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, he's a switchblade. He can play anywhere in the midfield. He can drift out wide. He can be an attacking midfielder. He can be central, and he can be a Gabby type player, and act, you know, of course, offer more going forward than Gabby. So Sewell can do it all. But the best thing that listeners should take away from this. From this player is where his mind is at. He's a loyal rojiblanco, and just given the way he speaks, what he says in interviews about Atletico Madrid, goes to show that he's 80%, 90% going to be with us for a long time.
Yeah, he is as dedicated as they come to the cause. He's as dedicated as they come to the badge, and Atletico are going to renew him once the tournament is over. Marca reported this morning he's going to join the 100 club of Atletico players who have 100 million euro buyout clauses or higher. Sewell's is going to be at 100 million. It's currently at 80 million, so that should ward off a few suitors and keep him here for years to come. That's the hope.
Yeah. We love you, Sewell.
Love you, man. Love that dude. What else we got? Yeah, so just the general transfer banter. Being on a transfer ban stinks, man. You know what I mean? It stinks.
Especially when you're reading headlines and, you know, really tangible headlines with a lot of good sources behind it. Of Lacazette, and obviously we know Costa wants to come back. That's been the case for about 16 months now. So, yes, when we heard the news, Atleti fans everywhere were hurt. But all we can do is just eat it and hope that by January 2018, Costa can come back. I think he's the most tangible player, where, you know, realistically, out of all the potential rumors and transfer talk. Diego Costa, I think, is the most likely to make a move in January 2018.
Yeah, we could get some news on that in the next few days as Chelsea's preseason kicks off next week, I believe. And I guess the skinny is that they want Costa's situation settled before then. I guess Atletico would as well. Vitolo, of course, has been linked repeatedly. Chelsea are reportedly in for him now. And you got to think if Chelsea make a bid for Vitolo, that he might just go there, because this very complex deal with involving Las Palmas and involving Vitolo becoming, you know, a free agent to signing for Las Palmas on a free transfer, then going to Atleti in January, you got to think that's just so complex that it might just be easier for him to move to Chelsea if they are indeed interested. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Diego Costa definitely makes the move, because this is a player that knows that Atletico Madrid are very close to achieving Champions League glory, and I think he wants to be a part of that after missing out in 2014.
But I bet you that still weighs on his mind. It weighs on all of our minds, honestly. Did you see the Zlatan rumor?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
To be honest with you, I saw it. I laughed at it. I didn't look into it. I'm not opposed to it, but I don't think it's feasible. It's real.
It's not feasible. It's never been feasible. His wages are just so high, and deservedly so, because he is and always has been a world-class forward. But dealing with his agent, with Mino Raiola, just does not appeal to me. I don't think it appeals to Atletico either. It's not feasible. It's not happening. But we can dream.
Yeah, we can dream. obviously, me and you agree that this is definitely not happening, barring a bizarre
something transfer. Just totally like out of the blue, like something totally football manager-y out of the blue.
But yeah, I haven't even clicked on any of the headlines because I just think it's BS. what can we talk about? Today, actually, one of our guys at Atletico Fans went to El Doblete, the bar inside the Vicente Calderon. That's, you know, the entrance is right built into the exterior of the stadium. And the owner said that he will be transferring the bar over to the Metropolitano in time for the first game.
Oh, excellent. Excellent news.
So that's good news to people that live in Madrid.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it does seem like there is a concerted effort to keep some of the culture, the traditions that were established at the Calderon. There is a concerted effort to take them to a stadium called Wanda. And that's good news, because Atletico could very easily have shut the door on all that and ushered in or kind of forced in a new era with all new and enforcing an all new kind of culture and an all new kind of, you know what I'm saying, all those kinds of things on the supporters. And it seems like that's really good news that El Doblete is going to make its way over to the Wanda.
Yeah, I mean, I hear, you know, obviously when the news came for the move, at first you're like, I don't want to leave the Vicente Calderon. This is our home. So many memories. It's the Vicente Calderon is like our giant badge of what it means to be a Atletico Madrid supporter. And then obviously you had the Wanda with the partnership branding combined with the Metropolitano name, and a lot of fans were upset, and rightfully so. But we're not the only ones. Unfortunately, we're not going to change the culture of the modern game and the modern marketing and modern branding. But personally, for me, I think Atletico Madrid is going in the right direction. You have teams like Deportivo La Coruña and Valencia in the past where they've reached our height in terms of fighting Barcelona and Real Madrid, but they never took that next marketing, that next branding step in the history of La Liga. And Atletico Madrid is capitalizing on our superstars, our heightened awareness in Europe with our, you know, our semifinal berths, our final berths. And I think it's a good move, and I'm very happy that they're keeping our cursed and our grassroots culture and bringing it to the Metropolitano.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. All right, well, that will do it for this edition of Colchonero Chat. I'd like to thank my guest, Carlo Valladares. Carlo, thank you so much for coming on, man.
No, man, thank you. I love this podcast, and listeners, keep reading into the Calderon. Keep reading AtleticoFans.com, even though we're kind of in, like, a limbo. But, yeah, great content all around, and thank you for having me, Jeremy.
Respect, brother. I'd ask you to stay on for just a minute while I wrap it up and get on with the sign-off message. You can follow Carlo on Twitter at @C_V_news. You can follow me on Twitter at @JBBeren. That's JBBEREN. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon on Twitter, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can also listen and subscribe to this podcast, Colchonero Chat, on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you on the flip. Adios.